Now listen to the Christmas story as told by Matthew. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 23. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we've come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they'd seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the prophet had spoken, what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, "Weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Get up," the angel said, "take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who are trying to kill the child are dead." So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he heard that a new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said: "He will be called a Nazarene." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. You've listened to both Christmas stories, the one told by Luke, the one told by Matthew. And the version of these two stories could not be more different. Matthew begins with the confused and bewildered Joseph, planning to separate from his pregnant fiancée. Joseph has nothing to sing about. He believes that Mary's been unfaithful to him. Matthew makes no mention of the census ordered by Caesar Augustus, the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, the lack of accommodation, a stable or a manger. Matthew mentions no angels announcing the Savior's birth to shepherds, or the shepherds visiting the newborn child and singing praises to God on the way back to their flocks. In Luke's account, there's room to imagine that the stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay, or to picture the peace and joy that fell on Bethlehem the night Jesus was born. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above your deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. There's nothing sweet and gentle about Matthew's Christmas story. He sets the birth of Jesus on the background of treachery and murder. He tells us Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the time when Herod was king, and the people who read that for the first time and had not heard the story firsthand would have gasped in horror, because the story of Herod and his violence and his treachery and his cruelty and his bloodthirstiness were well known throughout Judea. It's well documented that Herod murdered one of his wives, had three of his sons murdered, his mother-in-law, his brothers-in-law murdered. He drowned one of them in a swimming pool at a party. He had his uncle murdered and whoever else appeared to threaten his reign. 4 days before he died, Herod ordered a fourth son to be murdered. And in his will, Herod commanded the leading men, the leading Jewish men of Judea, be rounded up, and on the day he died, they were all to be executed, to ensure that even though most people would welcome his death, there would be mourning at the time of his funeral. Caesar Augustus once sneered that it was safer to be a pig in Herod's pen than to be a son in Herod's house. Everyone recognized what a nasty piece of work Herod was. And the first readers must have recoiled when they heard him ask, "Where is the place where the newborn King of the Jews has come?" Herod always suspected somebody was out to get him, plotting against him even when they weren't. And Herod doesn't disappoint us. He plots to get rid of this so-called King of the Jews. He asks the wise men to report to him the time that that star first appeared in the east. And based on that calculation, he figured about 2 years. And so he ordered that every baby boy in Bethlehem and the surrounding area, 2 years old and younger, be executed. He pretends he wants to go and worship. That's why he wants the details. But his first attempt to get rid of the newborn king fails when the wise men don't report back to him. And so he gave that order. And no baby born in that region about the same age as Jesus would remain alive. But before Herod's soldiers got there, Joseph was warned in a dream. This chapter of Matthew is full of dreams. The wise men warned in a dream. Now Joseph warned in a dream. And he'll be warned at least twice more. And that night, he loaded up the baby and Mary, and they escaped into Egypt and stayed there till Herod was dead. Bethlehem's not only the place where Jesus was born, he's the place where Herod's soldiers slaughtered babies and toddlers. It's not the place, as the carol said, where silent stars go by, but a place where the loud crying of parents is heard because their babies have been murdered. Matthew's Christmas pageant ends not with tinsel-covered angels proclaiming goodwill, but with parents weeping for their children who were slaughtered. Matthew has the birth of Jesus placed right into the real world. A world where rulers like Hitler and Stalin and Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden and Vladimir Putin still murder children for their own purposes. The baby Jesus was born into a world where children in Israel, Palestine, Iraq, Afghanistan, Palestine, Pakistan are still killed. Jesus was born into a world where 15-year-old Natalie Rupnow, a student at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin, opened fire last Tuesday, wounded 6. 2 are still in critical condition with life-threatening wounds. Killed a teacher, 42-year-old Aaron West, and a student, 14-year-old Ruby Vergara, and then turned the gun on herself. Jesus was born into a world where a 50-year-old doctor from Saudi Arabia, who had been given asylum and had lived in Germany for 18 years, last night drove his Mercedes through a Christmas market, injuring 200, 41 seriously, killing 5, including a 9-year-old boy. This is the real world. And it's into this world that Jesus comes. It's into a world of pain and sorrow, of political intrigue and deceit, of murdered children, a world where people are imprisoned and executed for their testimony for Jesus Christ. And in a world where if you say the simple creed, Jesus is Lord, it's enough to get your whole family arrested and murdered. The baby Jesus comes into our own personal world of death, grief, sorrow, helplessness, and suffering. Matthew's story of Christmas is far from the story that Jesus tells us, that Luke tells us. Jesus came into a world that's far from perfect, in fact, a very evil world, into a world where we live and work and struggle. Has come a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He doesn't remain above the trouble of this world. Rather, He enters into the fray as a baby. He becomes as vulnerable and as helpless as the baby boys of Bethlehem. Jesus comes to us not in a picture-perfect, peaceful world of serenity and tranquility. He comes to us in a real world, a world of pain and suffering and death and evil. This is the world we all understand. One way or another, Matthew's version of the Christmas story has a lot to say to us as we encounter adversity, suffering, grief, and death. in our own lives and the lives of those we love. This may not be the Christmas story we like, but it's a Christmas story that reminds us that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. We need to know that God is with us even when we feel He's a million miles away. We need to know that God is right here with us when things are getting us down, when our sorrow is overwhelming, when death stares us in the face. We need to know that God will never consider us too sinful or too far away from Him. This is a story about God's love that will always be with us and help us when we need Him most. As I close, listen to one more Christmas story. And this is back in Russia, in a city that I knew well and where I lived for 2 years, over 14 visits. There were about 100 boys and girls in that Detский Дом, home for children, that had been abused and abandoned. Like the babies of Bethlehem, they'd experienced the violence of our world. Not all of those children are orphanages. We call those places orphanages. They're not all parentless. Some of them have been sexually abused and are taken from those abusers and put into a place of safety. Some of them have been subjected to drugs and are removed from that atmosphere. Some of them are simply abandoned, like two boys I met, brothers. Their mother took them to the train station Christmas Eve, said, "We're going to catch the train, we're going to go visit Grandma and Granddad. You boys stay right here while I go get tickets." And never came back. And those 100 orphans, with amazement, heard the Christmas story for the first time. And following the story, they're given small pieces of cardboard to make a manger, to make their own picture. And one little boy had not one baby in the manger, but two. And when little Misha was asked why he had two babies in the manger, he replied by telling the story as it had been told to him till he gets to this part, where Mary, or Maria as they say in Russia, put the baby Jesus into the manger. He made up his own ending. He said, "And when Maria laid the baby in the manger, Jesus looked at me and asked me if I had a place to stay. I told him, 'I have no mama and no papa, so I don't have a place to stay.' Then Jesus told me I could stay with him, but I told him I couldn't because I didn't have a gift to give him. But I wanted to stay with Jesus so much, so I thought about what I had that I could use for a gift, and I thought maybe if I keep him warm, that'll be a good gift. So I asked Jesus, 'If I keep you warm, will that be a good enough gift?' And Jesus told me, 'If you keep me warm, it'll be the best gift I've ever received from anyone.' So I got into the manger, and then Jesus looked at me and told me I could stay with him for always." And as little Misha finished the story, with his eyes brimming full of tears that splashed down his little cheeks, his head dropped on the table and his head shook as he sobbed and sobbed, that little orphan had found someone who would never abandon nor abuse him, someone who would stay with him forever in a rotten, rotten world. God with us, Emmanuel. In the suffering and pain of our lives and in the violence of our world, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us always and forever. This is the message of Advent. No matter what's going on in our lives, He is Emmanuel, God with us in a rotten, sinful world. He is Emmanuel, God with us. This is our peace.